Well, welcome back to Monday Night Talk. This is the second hour of Monday Night Talk heard here on 95.9 WATD in Marshfield, 1460 AM in Brockton. And this hour is going to be a special hour. Actually, the first half of this will be, I'll be doing a little bit of a tag team with Christine James, co-producing this segment with folks who are running for Selectmen in Scituate. What do we got on tap, Christine?
Well, thanks, Kevin, and I'm so glad we were able to do this. This is a little bit of a different approach that we're going to be taking. Not a formal forum. These are the two candidates that are running for the Scituate Board of Selectmen. Marty O'Toole resigned from the seat, so it's a special election being held on September 16th, and this is a conversation. For those of you that are used to listening to all the forums that we do, a little bit different, a little bit shorter, a little bit more casual, but still hitting on the important issues. And I know that I can count on you, Kevin, to ask some of the questions with me. Now, one of the same things that we're going to be doing, we're going to give the candidates opening and closing statements. We're going to hold those to about a minute. But again, I don't have the bell here tonight. I'm not going to ring anybody or ding, none of that. But we're just going to have a conversation about what the issues are in town. Okay.
You got it.
All right. So let's start tonight, and let's start with Keith. Is it Wallow? I want to make sure I pronounce your name.
Wallow is correct.
Okay. Keith Wallow, running for selectman in the town of Scituate. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Yeah. Go right ahead.
I would like to thank WATD for inviting me here today for my views on our town's issues. I own a local company, Harbor Mooring. My company maintains and builds docks and moorings in and around Scituate. In my prior career, I was responsible for $30+ million budget and managed 50+ managers. I mention this because I was responsible for managing others' money and ensuring it was spent correctly and prudently. There was no overspending as the clients I dealt with held us to stringent budgets. I look forward to managing your tax dollars as carefully as I managed my clients' dollars in the past. I mentioned some hard truths in our last forum. Sometimes hard truths come across as negative, but they need to be dealt with. The morale of our employees and citizens and the lack of transparency need immediate improvement. I see this as a major opportunity and look forward to improving these issues for our town. We have many major issues facing Scituate at this time. We need to have a complete plan to manage them all. We should not be picking one issue at a time, as many of these issues affect each other. We must move ahead with a tangible plan and ensure we are encompassing everything.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement. Keith Wallow, you did that in a minute. Good. You've been practicing that with a timer.
I did. Thank you.
Karen Canfield, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Let's hear a little bit about you.
Thank you, Christine, and thank you, WATD, for this opportunity to talk about our important election. I'm excited to have a chance for your listeners to learn a bit more about their choice on September 16th. This election isn't just about one seat on the board. It's about what kind of leadership our residents want for our wonderful community. I've demonstrated my leadership by getting our new library built on budget and with unbelievable resident support. This required extensive community outreach, financial skill, and strong consensus building work. We live in a terrific community. Together, we can improve our planning efforts, ensure community engagement, and provide needed services. Please join Team Canfield. Together, we can make Scituate stronger.
Thank you very much. That was Karen Canfield. She is the other candidate running for the Board of Selectmen in Scituate. Now, you obviously both have a lot of interest in the town. You want to do good things. You want to make changes. Keith, when you gave your opening statement, you talked about some changes need to be made. Let's start with you, talk a little bit, and I'm going to go right to you, Karen. Mm-hmm. Tell me the three things that need to change about town government in Scituate.
I think morale overall at the town hall is one of the big issues that needs to be improved drastically because of what's been happening with the current administration and the current Board of Selectmen. Transparency is huge. Sometimes the closed meetings and the stuff that happens behind closed doors should probably be public, and right now it isn't being viewed in public eyes. And I guess lastly, I would say we as a town can't keep passing overrides or knocking down buildings like the library until we know how we're going to pay for it. And just going back and saying we're going to have an override and we're going to make the taxpayers pay for it, I don't think is the way to go.
Okay. Karen, what do you think needs to change in Scituate town government? Do you think everything's fine as it is?
No, I think there's always room for improvement when you're talking about a municipal organization. I think for Scituate, improving, the first thing we need to do is to hire the strongest town administrator we can. We are in the search right now, and that is priority number one for our town. Touches everything in the town. The second thing is we have over 150 volunteers who work on boards and committees to improve things in the town. A lot of times those committees work in silos. They do their hard work, but that information doesn't necessarily get transferred in a timely way to other boards that may need their opinion. So I think that that's one of my strengths is figuring out a way so that those communication channels can open up, and it will only improve how we make decisions and how we govern the town.
Okay, Kevin Tachi, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I certainly do want to jump in here. My question is, where do you guys stand in regards to experience, municipal experience? Share what boards, committees that you've been a part of, some of the things that you've done, and then I got a follow-up question to that. We'll start with Karen.
Thanks. I am in my third term as a library trustee, which means I've been elected by the town three times to represent the community. I've also been appointed by the Board of Selectmen to the Public Building Commission as the library rep to oversee our recently renovated and expanded library. And prior to that, I served on a number of community boards.
Keith, same question for you, if you wouldn't mind.
Yep. I'm on my third term also with Waterways, which is an appointed commission by the town. Before that, I haven't been on any other committees or boards, but for the prior 2 years, I think I've been to about 150,000 meetings in the town and have seen pretty much everything that happens in all of the different boards and committees.
What do you feel are some of the important attributes, Karen? You had mentioned in regards to hiring a new town administrator, and that's an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. What do you feel are some of the attributes that the new town administrator should possess? Whether it's some of what the former Patricia Vincasey, and maybe something that maybe Patricia may not have had, but is kind of important moving forward, whoever the next TA is. Yes.
That's a great question. The most important aspect is someone who has a firm command of municipal finance and management. That's the core of that job. But very important, and important because of some recent conflicts in the town, we need somebody that can effectively lead and support all of the wonderful employees we have in town so that they can do the best work they can do.
Keith, same question.
Well, I think the finances are ultimately important. We do have Nancy Holt, our town financer, who does a great job. And I think she'll be able to carry on some of the stuff that's been going on. I believe the town administrator really needs to work, he or she needs to work on total transparency for themselves and the Board of Selectmen. They need to work on morale for the town because the town employees are pretty low right now. And lastly, they just need to bring everything back together. And I think as a town, we have huge resources. And we need to get those people all back together doing the same thing instead of not being able to do so.
Okay, I want to ask a follow-up because this has been, this is kind of a complicated issue, and I hope we can get right down to the nitty-gritty. With the town hiring a new town administrator soon, with Patricia Vincasey leaving, even though she was a town administrator, it seems her authority presented more as a town manager. Why don't they just call the post that? Who's in charge in the town of Scituate? That's been very unclear to me as a reporter during her reign there. Who's in charge? Who reports to whom? And who decide who speaks to the press? Because that has been a constant problem. So let's just speak very clearly
and
very
plainly.
Let's put it right on the table. And that was a problem with the former town administrator in Scituate as well. Very hot and cold, very erratic. Can the police speak? Can the fire speak? Who's allowed to speak? Is she a town? Who's in charge? Are the selectmen in charge? Or is she in charge? Keith.
She is definitely in charge. No one is allowed to speak except for her. We've had some issues in the past where things have happened and the department's heads have not had an opportunity to speak until they spoke to her first. So she is definitely in charge. The Board of Selectmen pretty much do whatever she asks them to do. And I'll back that up by just saying that in the last 2 years when I've been going to meetings, I believe there's been two times that I've been at meetings that the vote wasn't 5-0.
Okay. Do the selectmen report to her, or do she report to them?
She reports to them, but that's not how it currently seems to be working.
Okay, so they should be able to speak without talking to her first. That's what I'm not clear on, who's taking authority, if they have it or they don't have it. That's just never been made clear to me.
They have the authority. Okay. But it's just, it's not working that way right now.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the same issue, Karen?
Yeah, no, I feel the situation pretty astutely, because having worked at the library and wanting to inform people about what's going on when we were going through that process, it's, you know, it's town money, and I very strongly felt we should be out there in front of it. The way it's structured, the Our Town Charter, the Board of Selectmen have the hiring authority to the town administrator. The town administrator has very far-reaching authority. Mm-hmm. To the extent that she exercised that, I think she went to the full extent of what she was allowed to do. That's one of the reasons I think it's time, way past time, for us to think about revising our town charter, or at least starting the process, because maybe that's not the right structure. The Board of Selectmen... what was the other part of the question?
Who reports to who? Because it's been very unclear whether she calls the shots or they call the shots.
So it's, technically, as Keith said, the Board of Selectmen are the boss of the town administrator. However, they're volunteer positions, and they've relied heavily on her expertise.
Okay.
During her first 5 or 6 years, she really got our financial house in order, and I think she gained a lot of confidence. And in the last few years, I think maybe we've let the pendulum swing a little too far. As far as communications, the town administrator had made some decisions which she thought were the best interest of the town regarding what people could talk to people to reporters about. A lot of the contracts actually have some limitations in them as regards to social media, but it is not in the best interest of the town not to have department heads be able to speak to people who have a legitimate reason to know what's going on.
Do you agree with that, Keith?
Which part?
About it's not in the best interest of the town to not be able to have department heads that can speak without getting permission from the town administrator.
Well, I think the department heads need to be able to speak, and they'd be able to do their job, and as of right now, they're not allowed to do so.
Okay.
So
Kevin?
If I can ask, if you're a candidate who's elected on September 16th, what do you plan to do in regards to whoever the new person is? Are you going to assert yourself as a selectman? Will you create a changed environment as to what we're hearing in regards to it? Will you have any input in regards to this moving forward? Karen?
Well, we absolutely have an opportunity with the hiring of a new TA. As a member, if I'm elected to the Board of Selectmen, you absolutely have the right to direct the new town administrator in things that reflect the community's values and priorities. So I absolutely feel that that's something that needs to change, and we'll be vocal about it. It's one of five people, but I believe, as I said in my opening statement, it's about leadership and experience, and I have those things.
Same question to you, Keith.
I hope everyone knows that they've kind of changed the structure in which they're deciding on who's going to be brought in front of us to be the TA. They brought it down to a committee of three, which consists of two current selectmen and a former town administrator from another town, who happens to be a friend of Patricia's. So there's many people out there that aren't real happy with this situation and how it's being done. So I think it comes down to transparency, and we need to make sure that it is a transparent procedure, and I'm not sure it's gonna be.
Karen?
Keith's right. There is a pre-screening committee made up of these three people that was set up to, because sometimes people don't want their communities knowing that they're applying to look for another job. So that body is charged with getting a short list of candidates. All of those candidates will come before the full board in public to be interviewed, is the process that they're going to follow. So, you know, they'll be setting it up just like, you know, we do for boards and committees, and those individuals will be brought in and interviewed in public.
Okay.
I can't believe we're halfway through this conversation already, and we haven't even talked about coastal issues. Anytime there's a big storm rolling in, usually half of the Boston media is set up in Situate.
Exactly.
What are your concerns? We're guilty too. We're up there somewhere too. What are your concerns in regards to coastal issues when it comes to infrastructure and taking care of Situate when it comes to Mother Nature and any developments that are on the beach?
Well, obviously, the coastal, our coast is our greatest asset and our greatest resource. So protecting it is a huge priority. We are very fortunate in Situate. We have a coastal resources officer, I believe the only one in the Commonwealth. And her job is to make sure that the research is there and the structures in place that we are in a position to apply for grants for all of the different foreshore protection things that we can do.
Okay, Keith.
Keith, same question.
I think we have some great opportunities in front of us right now. There's a system called WADS, which is Wave Insinuating Devices, I believe it's.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an opportunity to be the test site in the Northeast to make this happen. What it does is it breaks the waves before they get to the shore, which makes the impact on the shore much less than what it would be right now. And I think we need to take it. It's working down in Virginia, and there's some other sites down further south that it's not only saving the shore, but it's re-nourishing the beaches, which is something we pay for, because as the waves come in, they pull the sand out. And with these WADS in place, the sand is actually left there, and actually the sand grows. So it actually makes the re-nourishing of beaches not necessary. So that $5 or $10 or $15 million we spend over the next few years may not be necessary.
So it's going to help with erosion and also collect any of the sand that may get washed into the sea.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And if right now I've spoken to some people, and we can get a 1,000-foot WAD set up as a trial area up here in the Northeast for $1 million, and there's a good chance we can get Army Corps to pay for it from the people I've spoken to, because they want to know if they're going to work up here or not.
Okay.
So I think it's a great opportunity.
Okay, let me switch my gears here for a minute. How is the average taxpayer in Situate benefited from the wind turbine? Specific monetary payment, number one, and number two, the people who, a lot of whom supported it in the beginning, and then when it was put up, had some problems with noise in their neighborhood, flicker, et cetera. How do you think the town treated those people? Start with you, Keith.
Well, again, I'm the people's voice that keeps going back to morale, and again, when I opened my statement, I said it was not just the employees, it was the citizens. We have a gentleman that's come in for the last 3 weeks at selectmen's meetings and said, I can't sleep at night because of this thing, and you're not helping me. So their answer back to him was, we're going to do some more studies and we'll let you know. So in my opinion, the current board does not listen enough, and they just don't seem to react to what the people's needs are, and I'd like to see that changed.
Okay. What do you think, Karen? Same question.
I know. I felt for that guy. I wanted to say, okay, I'm going to come over and see what it's like in the middle of the night, because he's definitely feeling for it. I don't have the exact figures, but I believe the town brings in it's a substantial amount of income mm-hmm. from that property, from the turbine. You know, that's nothing to sneeze at, because every dollar goes to something important in our town. But how you treat residents is what it's all about. We serve to represent people that live in the town and pay those taxes. So I agree that, you know, when it comes to that, when there's a real and present, they did restrict the use of that tower mm-hmm. so that to try to diminish the impact on people. And I think that we need to look at it as closely as possible, because, you know, if somebody can't sleep, that's not
right.
Fair, no matter how much money we're getting.
I know they kept talking about the money, but does anybody know exactly how much it is? I mean, does every taxpayer get like a $10 check or something?
That money goes into the general fund and helps offset other issues. And I wish I have it in my head, and I don't want to state it because I think I have it wrong.
Did you want to add something to that, Keith?
I guess I'll state it in my head. I think it's around $1 million a year. Is the number that we get out of it.
I couldn't remember how many zeros there were.
And it doesn't go back into the taxpayers. But I also wanted to say, I'm behind putting another one in, or two more in,
mm-hmm.
because it does help, it helps the general fund and it does help the town. We just have to be really careful, and we have to make sure that we study it a little closer than mm-hmm. we studied this one if we do another one.
Okay, Kevin?
Just want to remind folks that they are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 959 WATD, 1460 AM in Brockton, as we are speaking with the two candidates running for selectman in Scituate, Karen Canfield and Keith Wallow. Special election coming up on September 16th. It's a Saturday, if I'm correct, right, Christine?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you guys, and that is, Christine and I have kind of touched upon in the brief time that we're here a couple of the key issues. But is there an issue that we haven't mentioned yet, but you feel is important and that you're hearing from residents about, that they're saying to you, hey, this is something that if you get on that board, it's something that you have a conversation with the other four selectmen? We'll start with Keith.
There's so many, I could go on for an hour and a half. Yeah.
Pick a favorite then. Pick something that you hear a lot of on a regular basis.
Don't worry, because I'm going to ask you about the senior center next.
Yeah.
It might be brown water. I mean, we're known for our brown water, and it's
popular brown water.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yes.
And it needs to be addressed. And we've done a lot of the replacing of the pipes right now, and there's some more to do. I think there's 110 miles of water pipes in the town of Scituate, and we have a few left to do, but not a majority. So a lot of these problems should be starting to settle out, but they're not. So I think we really need to investigate and figure out why that's not happening. But I think that's one of the biggest ones.
Karen?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. So if you ask at the corner store, people are going to say brown water, mm-hmm. the roads are a mess, and the communication issue between town hall and people. Those are what people talk about. And they also talk about the cell service, but unfortunately, the Board of Selectmen.
Or non-existent
right.
cell service.
We really don't have that much sway on that issue. And it's tricky because those are important things that people care about. To get to those solutions requires taking a step back and looking at how those things have become an issue and fixing them, through town government. And those are complicated, most of them. As Keith mentioned with the water, it's not as simple as putting clean water in the pipes. You got a lot of work to do. With the bad roads, you got to look at, the impact of that. And I also am very concerned that we need, besides the charter review, we need to spend a lot of time looking at our planning and zoning, because I don't think we're planning appropriately for growth.
Just a quick follow-up. Yeah. So any questions in regard to Chapter 90 monies and how it's being spent for roads and how they're being repaired? Do you have questions, and are you going to ask those questions, Karen?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a real thing. Every day somebody stops and says, I can't drive my truck down this road. It's, it's bad for my business and that. So, yeah, it's the DPW needs to honestly, one of the first things I'll do is ask our very hardworking DPW to just show me the plan, because I haven't seen that yet.
Keith?
Well, the roads are dug up for a reason, whether we're replacing sewer pipes or water mm-hmm. pipes. And I actually mentioned this the other night, that there's a new way to do the roads. There's a reason the roads stay like that. Mm-hmm. You have to put the pipes in, you have to fill them in with sand, and then you pave over them, and you have to wait a year for it to settle before you can pave the road entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a new system out there right now where you can use clay instead of sand, and it doesn't have to settle. So you can pave the roads as soon as you're done doing a project. So that whole 1 year waiting time of people saying, oh my God, the roads are so mm-hmm. horrible, it's been a year, what are you doing, could be going away.
We get enough time for your senior center question.
Yes, the senior center
before
question.
We wrap.
And
yep.
another real quick follow-up.
Yep.
My senior center question is not just one question. One of three possible locations, which one do you support for new senior center? And where and what is the purple dinosaur? That's number one. They keep saying that like everybody knows where this Barney character is. Why has it taken so long to get to this point with a new senior center when there's clearly a need for one? And do you think it's been a priority or even a concern for the current board, Keith?
Purple Dinosaur is a little park that's probably not a real good site. I'm not sure even why they put it on there. It's like a playground, and it has a small field in the back
okay.
of it.
Like a big Barney thing there?
Yeah,
something. Okay.
Yeah, it could be.
Okay.
I do think it's a priority, and I think the selectmen have thought it was a priority.
Okay.
But I think that they felt that the safety complex and the school were higher priorities at the time, and that's probably one of the reasons it didn't go in.
Okay.
We could talk for a couple hours about the safety complex and the school and what happened with those projects.
Do you support a new senior center?
I do support
Which
a new
location?
Senior center. If I had to pick one, I would pick the one behind the library.
Okay. What about you, Karen? Do you support a new senior center? Which location?
I do support a new senior center, and I would like to see it in one of the locations in the town common area, so okay. Whether it's the library or Gates.
Okay, one more quick lightning round question here. The Marine unit with the Scituate Police Department, getting a lot of good reviews. Do you support the police expansion with the boat they have out there, you know, checking on what's going on in the spit there? Karen?
I do. Okay. I think that it was brought in for good reasons, okay. And hopefully it improves safety for everyone.
Keith, you think it's a good idea to have that out there?
Not 100% sure it's necessary. I'm on the water out there every day, and it's nice to have it, but a lot of the times when there's an issue and there's something happening on a boat out there, by the time one of the, whether it's the police get there first or the harbor master gets there first, it's usually within 10 seconds of each other.
Okay.
So I'm not 100% sure it's money well spent.
Okay.
Well, we got enough time in the segment for them to close out.
Yeah,
and
give you a minute.
And give the folks information about the election.
Okay, let's start with you, Keith, a minute.
Thank you for listening to my views, and I look forward to speaking with many of you in the weeks leading up to our election. Your voice is very important to all that happens in our town, and it will be heard through me. All issues need to be looked at from all sides, and mutual compromise that makes sense for all should be our objectives. This is one of my strengths, and I look forward to using it to better our town. Concerns such as brown water, water supply, foreshore protection, sewer plant, and new installs, building development, ADA regulations, ambulance staffing, ball fields, and growing our retail segment are important items to our town's future. They all need to be addressed prudently and swiftly. I have outlined plans for many of these issues with details on how to achieve them and do so at the lowest possible cost. We have great people at our town hall and on our committees that will help us be very successful. I would be honored to receive your vote on September 16th and look forward to being the people's voice in Scituate. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith Weller. That was your final comment. We've got one now from you, Karen Canfield.
Thank you again for your opportunity to discuss these important issues today and about our upcoming special election. I encourage everyone listening to check out the YouTube video of Keith and I at our recent candidates forum, which has a lot of in-depth conversation. And also, I'd love you to check out my website and see more about me. There are so many wonderful aspects to our town, and our Board of Selectmen must respect our community, protect our resources, and steward our future. I hope you'll consider voting for me on September 16th.
Thank you very much, Karen Canfield. Two good candidates here tonight. You just heard Karen Canfield, Keith Wallow, Kevin Tachi. This was a conversation, not a forum. I like this. September 16th, a Saturday, is it 7 to 6, I believe? Polls are open at the high school.
Correct.
And I'm going to say the same thing I say when we do every single forum. Get out there. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. This whole forum will be up on our website. It'll be on Kevin's podcast, and you'll hear selected cuts during tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning's drive. I'm Christine James. Hey, thank you, Kevin Tachi, for letting me hijack some of your time here.
Sure. We're going to go from dancing with the candidates to dancing with dignitaries coming up in our next segment here on Monday Night Talk. Kathy D., you know her from the afternoon drive show here, the Kathy D. Show, and her crossover with Christine. Well, she's going to be joining me. We're going to speak with Rob Hakla, Sandra Wright, and Cheryl Bartlett about this fantastic event coming up on September 16th. Stay tuned. You're listening to Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.